Welcome, listeners, to the Stories Babel's Ghostly Tales podcast, your one-stop place for creepy, strange, and unique stories. And as the saying goes, ask and you shall receive. So I've been asking fans to send some of their own stories my way, and they have. Today I bring you Mr. Kim by Asmar, What's Eating the Homeless by The Night Guard, and The Hooded Figure by Chris Byrne. Now, these were sent to me via email or directly to me via Facebook, so feel free to send me stories on Facebook as well. And like I said previously, you listeners are so talented. If you do have a story in you, write it down and send it my way. I'd love to read it. And lastly, before we jump right in, I'm looking for some paranormal stories to throw in the mix next week. If you have any stories or family members that have their own creepy stories and are comfortable sending their stories in, you can email me on storiesfablesghostlytales@gmail.com or even talk to me via Facebook. I'd love to hear from you. Okay, do you have your hot beverage? Good. So turn the lights off, the sound up, and get ready for something different. Waking up in an unfamiliar place was one of the last things I was expecting. My hands and feet were strapped down, and I was dressed in linen attire in a crisp white color. My eyes were still adjusting to the blinding sunlight seeping from the half-open curtains. Where am I? Trying to set myself free, I thrashed, struggling against buckles holding me down. Hello? I shouted at the walls. Is anybody here? Let me go! To my right, I heard a creak of the door opening. Mr. Kim. The husky voice came from a middle-aged man. His hair was black as coal, and his eyes cold grey. So, you are awake, he continued. Where am I? I asked, desperately seeking for an answer. You're in Hamper Oaks Mental Institution. What? How did I get here? Who put me here? I demand you let me go right now, I spat. Mr. Kim, please calm down. He quickly wrote something in the clipboard in his hands. That's not my name, I whispered, feeling confused. The man in white laughed, almost mockingly. Mr. Kim, that's not my name. Using all the air in my lungs. Sighing, the man rubbed his forehead with a smirk. The effects of your medicine must still be straining your ability to think. I beg to differ. My thinking is up to the highest capability. My voice thick in rage. The man stood in silence, then signaled two nurses who made their way towards me. Now, Mr. Kim, if you promise to behave yourself, I'll let them remove the straps. Now, what do we say? Without a better option, I nodded my head in agreement. Good, he said, clapping his hands. Together, the two nurses removed the straps. I snatched my hands, leading them to my chest and massaged my wrists, which were slightly bruised. Mr. Kim, we would like to give you a tour of your new home. Would you care to follow us? One of the nurses spoke with a soft tone. Nodding in approval, I got up, still not sure how I got there. They led me out of the room and into the corridor, which was filled with people screaming and murmuring to themselves. One person was even playing chess, waiting for the non-existent opponent's next move.
This is the recreational center,
the same voice spoke as I looked around. As we descended down the stairs, the lady spoke again.
And this is where you'll be attending your therapy sessions.
Looking around, I spotted a sign indicating the therapy rooms. In the far corner, I noticed another sign, which was quite hidden, as if they didn't want anyone to see it. As we walked past it, weird thumping sounds came out. I look at the sign. Basement. This raised my suspicions. Something funny was going on in this place, and I was about to find out tonight. The place smelled strongly of bleach, like the building was drenched with it. It had old structured ceilings that were concrete, which didn't match the new white walls of the building. My time outside ended, and they let me back to my room, pleased to see a cup of water and two pills next to the bed. I took a long look at the two small pills. "What is this?" I thought. Before I asked, one nurse looked at me.
"Sleeping pills."
She shifted her eyes awkwardly.
"Swallow them and go to bed. You need your rest for tomorrow."
Picking up the pills, I placed them under my tongue and drank the water. They both left my room with a smile. The pills started to go powdery, so I spat them out in the bin nearby. Alone in my bed, I couldn't help but think about what was in that basement. 12 a.m. The talk with Liz Clark started my suspicions. I got up quite late, making my way towards that basement. I had to find what was down there. I crept down the stairs as quickly as possible, trying not to be heard. I arrived at the door and slipped into the room. It was full of old books and desks overflowing with stacks of files. They were everywhere, going further in the basement. It was huge. There was another door, but it was locked. "Damn it," I whispered, as I looked around the room for keys. A few minutes later, I finally found them on the ledge of the doorframe. Little do they know, I used to do the same trick. While grabbing the keys and unlocking the door, I cringed at the strange smell coming from within. Inside was a makeshift mortuary. Strangely, all of its box doors were open, except for one. I came closer, not sure if I should open it. My hands were refusing, but my mind demanded. Unlocking the buckle, I opened the box. A body lay inside covered with a shroud, a small tag dangling off one of the feet. Name: Levi Kim. Shocked, I reached to pull the carcass out of its isolated box and instantly uncovered his face. I didn't know how to register the sight that I was seeing. It was like staring at my reflection in a non-existent mirror. The figure's appearance was like my own. "What did they do to you?" I whispered. His body looked like it had been experimented on. Full of scarring and mutilation, blood was dried in places all over his eyes and his mouth, and his stomach was still open from what seemed to be a failed attempt of trying to close it up with thin thread. His organs missing his ribcage looked broken and caved in, giving him a look out of someone's nightmares. Staggering backwards, I had to get myself out of there. I knew I wasn't Mr. Kim. I ran out of the room filled with cold sweat and fear, heading towards the exit. "Mr. Kim," a familiar voice shouted. "Mr. Kim!" It shouted again. No response came from me, still running as fast as I could. Reaching the door, I yanked it open and ran. I stopped in the middle of the field, not knowing where to go, my heart pumping, my body throbbing with adrenaline. "Mr. Kim!" the voice said behind me. "What are you doing?" "That's not my name," I spat. "I saw the body in the basement. You're crazy. Mr. Kim, please stop this nonsense." I turned around to make a run for it when I felt something plunged into the side of my neck, and then only black. Waking up in a familiar place, my eyes were still adjusting to the light, my hands and feet strapped down with buckles, and a cup of water was next to my head.
"Mr. Kim, how are you feeling?" the voice spoke.
"Much better, thank you," I reply calmly. Thank you so much, Asma, for your story submission, titled Mr. Kim. It was a great read. I'm looking forward to any more that you can cook up. Cheers, mate. Our next story is What's Eating the Homeless? By The Night Guard. I'm skipping the town soon. I really liked it here until things started becoming weird. I'm what you call a jack-of-all-trades. I move around from town to town with my old Mercedes station wagon, staying a month or three, maybe a year if the jobs are plenty and a girl or two strikes my fancy. I've been staying in this rural commuter town for 9 months now. I'm currently helping some local businesses with some off-the-records nighttime security, scaring away possible intruders and keeping overnight thefts and graffiti at a minimum. I carry a revolver replica that fires blanks for this sole purpose. The local law enforcement consists of a single patrol car, and I take a lot less than the private security firms. I'm staying in a small room in one of the junkyards for free security and the odd jobs they need doing, food included, so that's a good deal. Until recently, vagrants and homeless people were a common sight during my working hours. First, I didn't notice the difference in numbers since they came and went. But reading up on the news, it quickly became apparent that someone had made them their prey. 4 cases of remains found in the last 6 months, and missing person reports in the areas were plenty. The papers suspected a roaming psychopath, and families were advised to remain vigilant to not let their kids wander. I'm not picky about my company, and see a possible friend in anyone I meet. Naturally, I was on a friendly basis with a few unfortunates I encountered during my job, particularly an old retired soldier who used to show up everywhere with a beer bottle in hand looking for quarters and discarded things. We shared a beer or two at my expense, and he would tell me stories from his soldiering days. Lately, he told me of the disappearance of people he knew and the remains that had been found. The talk was that it wasn't someone, but something that made people disappear in the night. I thought it was just silly at the time, but I haven't seen him for weeks now. I asked around, but no one knew where he had gone off to. Last night, I saw a huge black shape outside the yard's fence. When going to investigate it, it bolted off into the nearby forest, only a green flash from its eyes from my flashlight. I went out to look for tracks when dawn came. I poached from time to time and knew my way around the woods. After searching, to no avail, I turned back but spotted a hollow I overlooked. From it came the horrible stench of rotting meat. Not wanting to stick my hand in, I used a stick to poke around. He came out sticky with a tiny piece of bloody fabric. Quickly running away, I notified the police back at the yard. Remains were found and I got questioned. I'm strongly advised by the police to not leave the town. Tonight, I found marks in the ground area around the fence. Something tried to dig in, yet I found no paw prints. And that concludes the first part of this story series titled What's Eating the Homeless? Thank you so much, Night Guard, for sending this one through. I've also included Night Guard's link to the original story online in my episode notes, so be sure to check that one out. I really loved this story, and I'm going to be doing the rest of the parts to this series. And I'll let you all know when. Your next story is by Chris Byrne. The title is The Hooded Figure. I work strange hours, and have to leave and come home in the middle of the night. This never bothered me until one autumn night a year ago. I had to get the last train home, which gets me to the rural town where I live at 2:50 a.m, and my house was a 20-minute walk from the station. To save time, I walk down the redways, which are paths carved into fields and trees to make travel easier. I get to the redway that goes directly to my road. It's not very well lit. When halfway down, there's a hooded figure. I can tell he's facing my way, but I think nothing of it. So I get closer and see something in his hand. I'm quite a tall guy and I can handle myself, but I've been at work and I'm tired, and I don't want to be dealing with a weirdo at this time of morning. So I turn into the road about 200 yards away from where he was that leads to the doctor's. As I'm walking to the doctor's, I see the hooded figure running my way. I'm going on instinct now, and I'm running around the back of the doctor's, which will take me on the main road, and hope he doesn't follow me. He does. So I stop halfway behind the doctor's, where there's a fence that I can look over. I peer around the corner. He spots me. So I run back the way I came from and hide behind some bins. I can't tell where they are. So I have to make a decision. Stay here or make a break for it. I decide to make a break for it. Back around behind the doctor's, I sprint as fast as I can. I see him quite a bit behind me, but they turn and run after me. I make it to the road and sprint towards the road that leads to my house. There are two entrances, so I make for the one that's closer to my front door. He goes the other way, hoping to cut me off. I make it to my door and fumble for the keys. I get the door open just as he comes around the corner. I jump in the house and slam the door shut. I run up to my room. I've woken my wife up with the door slam. She asks me what's going on. I tell her to keep quiet for a minute as I look out the blinds, spotting the hooded figure outside. He's pacing around, looking up at the windows. I'm careful to make sure he doesn't see me. He walks away. A slow, creepy walk, almost floating away into the darkness. I always kept to the main roads after that, or took a taxi home. I never saw them again. I asked around town about a hooded figure who hangs around at night, but people just said it was probably a druggie wanting to mug me for money. Whatever or whoever it was, I hope I never see them again. Thank you so much, Chris Byrne, for sending this one in. I loved it. And look forward to any more of your Let's Not Meet-esque sort of stories. I mean, I hope you don't have any more, but if you do have some, let me know. What a brilliant set of stories. Thank you so much, Asma, the Night Guard, and Chris Byrne. Just brilliant. Now tomorrow, I'm going to upload an old-time radio story that I'm remastering. For those of you who are new to old-time radio, they're basically really, really old audio dramas with old-style actors, scripts, and full-on Foley sounds. What I do is tweak and remaster each episode so you can hear it even clearer and without squinting your ears, if that's even a thing. And next week, hopefully, have some ghost stories sent in by my lovely fans, and I can narrate those, as well as some creepypastas. Oh yes, and perhaps some no sleeps. So much going on next week. And on that positively creepy note, it's that time. This is the place where stories live, and you telltellers come to listen. Enjoy your day or night, and join me every weekday for our creepy tradition. And as always, till next time.